Two readings this week. First is from Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them as the shepherd looks after the scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after the sheep, my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. Second reading, New Testament, from 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. But shepherds of God's flock, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen.
Thanks, Greg. If you can try and keep a finger in both those places, we're going to be looking at both those passages today. This is the first in 5 weeks of looking at eldership. And before we come to it, let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, as we've been reminded today, you are the good shepherd. You are the one who lays down his life for the sheep. We pray first and foremost that we would see you, our good shepherd, that we would know that we are part of your flock, safe in your hands. And we pray, Lord God, that you would raise up among us elders who will shepherd your flock in the way of Jesus, in his way, in his character, honoring him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An old pastor of mine was away on a holiday tour once upon a time, as he is on these tours. You sort of start out and you're tripping along with these people each day and getting to know them, but you start out as just a group of random strangers that have booked the same holiday tour. He introduced himself to a fellow traveller, and as you do, they got talking about their work as they got to know each other as they were tripping around. And he shared with him that he was a Lutheran pastor, a Lutheran pastor. This guy seemed quite interested, and he commented, "Oh, we could really use someone like you around at our place." And he said, "Really? Like, oh yeah, we have some cracks appearing at home, and you know, we could really use someone like you." Now, my pastor was quite surprised. He was quite surprised. Firstly, not many people are that interested in what pastors do, for starters. But secondly, not many people are that open about their spiritual need. You know, it's this guy was like talking about the cracks that are appearing at home, and it's like, wow, this guy's really open about needing some help. As the conversation went on, it didn't quite feel right, and my pastor eventually asked, "Sorry, what work did you think that I do?" And this man had mistakenly thought that he said he was a roofing plasterer. Very different. This guy had a hugely different picture of what my pastor was and what my pastor did. Now, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the role of an elder. Currently, we have two elders in our church, myself and Rob Bampton. And you might think, well, I'm not an elder, so none of this applies to me. I can just check out for the next 5 weeks, go somewhere else, get my spiritual nourishment somewhere else, and Rob and Matt can enjoy these next 5 sermons, and that'll be really good. And I want to say no. I want to suggest that this is actually really important for the whole church. It's really important we think about this as a whole church. And let me give you some reasons why. Firstly, I want to suggest there's actually some confusion about the role of what a pastor is and what a pastor does, what an elder is and what an elder does. We need a far more biblical picture of what an elder is. The bulk of teaching on leadership in the church, and there is a whole stack of teaching on leadership in the church, but the vast bulk of it comes from the world of business and sport and the military, and nowadays, because of the way things are, social media. Now, those things aren't bad. They're not bad things, they're not bad fields, and we can certainly learn things from those fields. But I want to ask the question, is that where we should get our picture of eldership in the church? Is that where we ought to be primarily getting our picture of what an elder is? Listen to this quote from pastor and theologian Harold Senkbeil. I have to think about what it means to have a different picture of what a pastor is. He says this, "There's a lot of confusion these days about what in the world pastors are supposed to be doing. Even among deeply spiritual and religious people, ministers of the gospel are variously understood as spiritual traffic cops, chief executive officers, or religious activity directors hired by churches, backslappers, handholders, or conflict managers, motivational speakers, perhaps. Now, each of these roles comes with its own job description, of course. No wonder, then, that we find a lot of churches confused over what to expect from their pastors." The second reason we need to look at this as a church is that as a Baptist church, our church membership is given the responsibility to appoint our elders. We don't have a bishop or a presbytery that decides who gets to be an elder here. The Baptist Association doesn't decide for us who is an elder here. The Baptist church down the road doesn't decide who is an elder here. We as members of this church are given responsibility to decide who is qualified to be an elder here among us. Therefore, our whole church needs a clear picture of what elders are and what they do. Thirdly, our picture of what an elder is directly related to discipleship. Elders in a church should represent a picture of Christian maturity. If we're doing our mission, the thing that's written up on the wall there, our church ought to be producing the kind of disciples who are qualified and willing to be elders of God's people. As a church, we shouldn't just be trying to find elders. We should be discipling people and producing elders. Have you ever thought about that? What is it that people are being discipled toward. I want to say eldership should be part of that picture. We want a clear picture of elders because it's what we want people to be growing toward as they are discipled into maturity in Jesus Christ. Lastly, we need to look at this because there is a crisis of leadership in the Christian church today. Over the last decade, and probably actually the last decades, there have been a whole number of high-profile Christian leaders who've disqualified themselves from ministry because of their moral failings. You know this, you know the headlines. There have been Christian leaders who've been put on a pedestal and held up, not because they are a picture of Christian maturity or godliness, but because they're good at something else, usually getting bums on seats or getting likes on Facebook or something. There are also scores of Christian leaders who haven't failed morally. They haven't disqualified themselves. They've just burnt out. They've just burnt out or given up on ministry. And some of them have even abandoned the faith, no longer Christians themselves. Now, all of that is a tragedy. And I want to suggest that in part, not wholly, but in part, this epidemic of failure comes from leaders and churches and a broad Christian culture without a biblical view of what it means to be an elder, what it actually means to be a Christian leader. So, what is a biblical picture of an elder? Primarily, it is to be a shepherd who cares for God's flock. That is what it means to be an elder, to be a shepherd who cares for God's flock. In Ezekiel's time, Israel was in desperate straits. The nation had gone into exile because of their rebellion and their unfaithfulness to God. Particularly, it was because of the rebellion and then the unfaithfulness of their leaders. Turn back to Ezekiel 34, if you've still got it there. Ezekiel 34, God holds his leaders to account. Listen again to the description. Ezekiel 34, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. See what these leaders were like? Very good at taking care of themselves. They take care of themselves and prosper at the expense of God's people. Neglect the weak, forget the lost, ruling harshly and brutally. And because of their negligence, the people suffer. God's people are scattered and divided and picked off by a harsh and cruel world. Does that sound familiar? This was written about, say, 3,000 years ago, and yet it sounds just like the scandalous headlines, the Church 2 hashtag, the rise and fall of Mars Hill podcast, and whatever else is out there in the blogosphere. Failure in leadership is nothing new. It's nothing new. And God's question to every Christian leader is this: should not shepherds take care of the flock? Should not shepherds take care of the flock? I've got to say, I love this picture of leadership as shepherding. It's a beautiful picture. It involves authority and leadership and strength, no doubt, but it also is about tenderness and care and provision. It's not a picture of weakness, but it is a picture of strength expressed in loving kindness to those you lead. And it isn't simple. It really is not simple. It involves leading people through green pastures, through dark valleys. It involves joy and sorrow. It involves provision and protection and healing and correction. And most of all, it's relational. It reminds us that we lead people. Leadership is not primarily about the things that you can measure on an abacus. It's about people. Leading and caring for God's people, God's flock. Elders are to lead as shepherds. Now you may have noticed up until this point, I've been using the word pastor and elder interchangeably. I don't know if you've picked up on that. I do that because the Bible basically uses the word elder and overseer and pastor basically interchangeably. The word pastor, I don't know if you know this, bit of trivia for you. The root word pastor, it's a Latin word from the Latin word for shepherd. I may be paid, as a paid employee here, I may be paid and carry some extra responsibility to Rob, but the work of elders and the work of pastors is essentially the same. The picture of shepherding God's people. Let me show you this. Acts 20. Paul meets with the elders of the church at Ephesus. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's probably going to lose his head. He knows that he won't see them again. And he writes this. He says this to them. He meets with these elders and he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Notice there's a group of elders who should be shepherding God's people in Ephesus together. It's a team effort. And who made them overseers? The Holy Spirit. And what are they to do? Shepherd the flock. And whose flock is it? It's God's flock. It's God's flock that he purchased with his own blood. What a calling. What a calling to have responsibility to shepherd the people whom God purchased with his own blood. If you turn to Peter, Peter shares the same basic picture of eldership. This is what he writes, 1 Peter 5. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." He writes to a writes this charge to a group of elders to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Now, I don't know, but I can't help but think that Peter had that passage in Ezekiel in the back of his mind when he wrote this. I don't know that. Because he tells them how they should lead. Willingly. Not under a sense of obligation. Not so they can get a bunch of material gain, but so that they can serve God's people. Not lording it over people, but being an example to them. I'm sure what was in Peter's mind was the commission that he received from Jesus at the end of John's Gospel. Jesus asks him, if you remember, at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time that Peter answered yes, Jesus gave him the charge, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." Whose sheep are they? Jesus' sheep, that he purchased with his own blood. Now, there are two things I want you to see from this. Firstly, it's this: God loves his people. God loves his people. They are his beloved flock that he bought with the precious blood of his own son, Jesus. And because he loves them, he appoints elders over them to shepherd them. We're going to be looking in the coming weeks at what an elder does, but we want to grasp this first. They are to be shepherds, caring for the spiritual well-being of the precious people that God has put in their charge. We do what we do so that people are built up, so they are strengthened, so they are protected, so that they are provided for, so they are cared for spiritually. Now, some people in ministry are brilliant CEOs, some are charismatic media personalities, some are effective administrators, some are goal-smashing entrepreneurs. Fine and good. Fine. Good. Great. But what the church needs more than ever are humble, faithful shepherds. It's what we're lacking. It's what we need. On the final day, it will not be about attendance records or budget sizes or book sales or social media presence. It will be about shepherds who loved and served God's flock that God has put under their care. Those are the leaders that Peter says will receive an unfading crown of glory when Jesus appears. Here's the second thing I want you to see. As a church, we need to look for and raise up and produce these kind of leaders. Now, being an elder is not for everyone. Not everyone's gifted for this. There are different gifts and different kinds of service, but surely some of us are called to this. Surely some of us love God and love his people and have a good and right desire to shepherd the people of God. Now, that could be in a paid capacity. Maybe God's calling you to actually go into full-time ministry, but not necessarily. In every congregation, there is a need for a group of elders who shepherd God's people together. So here's a question for you to ponder, not just now, but over the next 5 weeks. Do you have a concern to shepherd the people in my church? It's a question to ask yourself. Do you have a concern to shepherd the people in your church, to love, serve, and help them grow? A concern to shepherd your brothers and sisters who are sitting in the seats next to you? And if not, why not? These are people that Jesus bought with his own precious blood. People that he loves dearly. God's flock that he cares for deeply. Are you concerned for them the way that God is concerned for them? And if not, there is some repentance that needs to happen. You need to start praying for a change of heart about how you see the people who are sitting here with you. If you have a concern to shepherd God's people, here's another question for you to ponder. Do you have the maturity? Do you have the kind of faith and character and humility to shepherd his people? And if not, why not? If year after year these things aren't growing in you, something's gone wrong in your discipleship. If an apple tree makes apples and a pear tree makes pears, what should a church make? Fruitful, faithful, mature disciples who can shepherd others. Now, if I asked you right now, if I said, what holds you back from the maturity that you need to love and serve other people, what would you say? What would the answer be? Think about that thing. What's your plan to address it? Don't get comfortable with it. What's your plan to address it? I hope over the next 5 weeks there's something here to help you have a greater concern for God's people, and I hope there's something here for you to give you a greater commitment to your own maturity for the sake of the people around you. Let's talk about the place of elders. If we are going to have a proper understanding of eldership right now, we need a picture of the right place of elders. Peter teaches us something really important. He teaches us that elders are in fact under shepherds. Have a look at 1 Peter 5:4 again. 1 Peter 5:4. It says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. When the chief shepherd appears. Elders are shepherds, but only ever shepherds under the authority of Jesus, the chief shepherd. Under shepherds of Jesus, the chief shepherd. We shepherds God's flock that he puts under our care. But remember, whose flock is it? God's flock. God's people. Jesus is the real shepherd. And let me tell you again, God loves his people. This is a warning to everyone who would be a shepherd among God's people. God loves his sheep. They are his flock. And he's the real shepherd. We could make two mistakes here. We could say, well, we don't need elders. We have Jesus. Who are these elders who think they're so great? No, we don't need to listen to them. But we are taught in the scriptures, God in his wisdom appoints elders in a local church so that his people are loved and cared for and led and protected. That's how God shepherds his people. The second error is to say, well, they're God's elders, so they must be perfect. They must get everything right. They never fail. We can't ever question anything they ever do or say. No. Elders are under shepherds. They care for the flock under the authority of Jesus, in the way of Jesus. Elders are not perfect. I hope you pick that up over the next 5 weeks. Elders are not perfect. They should be faithful and honest, but they won't be perfect. We will get it wrong, often. Hopefully you see us repenting, often. If you still have a finger there, go back to Ezekiel 34. We shouldn't be surprised when Christian leaders fail. We might be shocked and appalled and angry and upset and shaken and disturbed, but we shouldn't be surprised. Even the best leader is a sinner who lives by the grace of God. No one ever gets past being a sinner in need of the grace of Jesus. What does God do when shepherds become corrupt and start exploiting people? Have a look at verse 10, 34 verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. God loves his people. He will not let his people be exploited forever. He will hold wicked leaders to account. And it gets better. God himself promised those Israelites that he would be their shepherd. Verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. Later in the chapter, God says that he will provide for them and search for the lost and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak and shepherd the flock with justice. He will do everything that those leaders failed to do. God himself promised to be their shepherd. And when Jesus came, he showed once and for all how that could be. This is from John 10. John 10, verse 11 and 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. When Jesus went to the cross, he showed us just how far he would go to shepherd his people. He laid down his life to bring us back to God. Jesus is the shepherd that we need, the shepherd that we can trust. He loved each one of us so dearly that he laid down his life to bring you home to God. Maybe it's new to you. Something that you've maybe heard but never grasped before. He loved you so much. He went to these lengths to bring you back to God. Maybe you've known this for a long time. Jesus loved you so much. He laid down his life to bring you back to God. He is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the only true shepherd, and he loves his sheep. This is the heart of God for his people. It's why he wants leaders who lead in the way of Jesus, the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, the model that every elder follows. But more than that, no matter who we are, We remember we never get past being sheep. We never get past being sheep. We don't graduate past sheephood. Listen to 1 Peter again. This is 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 24. Peter reminds all of them, he himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's Jesus. Jesus loves his people. He brings us back to God, cleanses us from sin, makes us whole. He is our shepherd. He is our overseer. And this is the only safe place for an elder to be. It's the only safe place for anyone to be. To be sheep who know the voice of the good shepherd. Jesus continues to raise up elders, shepherds to love and care for his people. We're going to be talking more about how in the coming weeks, but for now, I want you to get this. I want you to hold on to this. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he loves his sheep, and he raises up elders to be sheep who know his voice and under shepherds of his beloved flock that he bought with his own blood. Let's pray. Oh Jesus, I pray that for each one of us we would grasp that magnificent truth that you are our shepherd, that our eyes can be fixed on you, the shepherd and overseer of our souls, the one who laid down his life to bring us back to God, to cleanse us, to make us whole. You are the one we need. I pray, God, you would give us a greater concern for your people, that we would see them the way that you see them. Not just people that we hang out in a building with on Sunday, but your flock, your people, your sheep that you love. Pray that concern would grow. I pray that you would grow maturity in us, that we would grow more and more into the kind of people who can love and shepherd others for your sake. And Lord God, I pray, where we fail, where we fall, where we fall short, to bring us once again to the grace that is found in Jesus. Show us what it means to live in your hands, to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.